Ladies and gentlemen, let's stand for the reading of God's holy word. As some of you know, I have been taking some days off. I was hoping that we could take off for a while. It appears to me, because of certain things that are happening, that the Lord wants me to resume earlier than I planned. And so by the grace of God, we're here today as always, but we will be here tomorrow as well, preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are on the road right now, and we'll be back in our main location tomorrow afternoon, Lord willing. And so pray for us. We have several people who are sick for some reason, and so pray for them. The Lord is leading me to march on, so pray for my strength in the Lord. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, and how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for every preacher who is proclaiming your gospel, because I know he is under similar satanic attacks from the outside and even from the inside, inside the church through Judas's, even inside his own family through enemies and betrayers of Christ. And so, Holy Father God, give them your protection, give them your grace. Lord, give them that wiring that you have given to me by your grace to stand firm and proclaim the gospel no matter what. And Holy Father God, Lord, even if they have a terrible wife trying to hinder them and keep them back from proclaiming your gospel, Lord, help them to continue to do so no matter what. We individually, Lord, confess our sins, our failures, and our faults unto you, for Jesus Christ's sake. Forgive us of our sins, as we from our hearts, by your grace, forgive those who have sinned, Lord, against us. And Lord God in heaven, we pray that you would empty us of ourselves, Crush and crucify our flesh, the old man within us, and fill us with the power, the unction, the anointing, the fruit, and the liberty, and the energy of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would rebuke and bind the devil, his demons, and his host, and the satanic, demonic spirit of Judas, betrayal, and sabotage, and foolishness from this place. Cover us in the blood of Christ. Place upon us the whole armor of God. Surround us with a band of your holy angels and a wall of your holy fire. Give us sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil, as you've done so many times down through the years. And Lord, I thank you for 3 days off after preaching the gospel for many days back to back. And Lord, I thank you for the rest, and I have slept very well. And I thank you for this beautiful sleep. But Lord, you have definitely called me back to the firing line earlier than what I thought would be the case. And so, Lord, I pray that you would thwart the plans of the devils and the demons of hell, the devil himself, the Judases and the Sanballats and the Tobiases, who are so full of hell themselves. Rebuke them, bind them. I plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and save their wretched souls who hate you that much. And there, and sad to say, there are many even lurking around the church and in the family. And through it all, Lord, I'd still pray for over 3 million souls to be saved, 3 million Christians to be revived, $3 million to come in to build the mission agency, chapel, library combined, and Lord, to aid homeland missionaries, indigenous missionaries, right where they are, who are crying out for help and sending the Macedonian call. In Jesus Christ's name we do pray and forsake. Amen. You may be seated. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to continue and begin to wrap up a series we started during Easter week. Easter, according to the Nicene Creed, Part 16, the Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, Day 746, since January the 20th, 2017, / Day 1111, 1111, since January the 1st, 2016. Now, ladies and gentlemen, regarding 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 11, and Dr. Justin Edwards said that Jesus Christ died for the sins of men and rose again for the justification and salvation of all who believe on him. These are fundamental doctrines of the gospel and are taught as such by all who are prepared and called by Christ to preach it. And so therefore we urge preachers, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, do the work of an evangelist. Do the work of an evangelist. And proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the good news. Today we are continuing our series drawn from the Word of God, the Holy Bible, and a historical text based on the Word of God, the Holy Bible that was passed down from the early church all the way to us today, called the Nicene Creed. In this series, we are talking about the importance of the historical Christian faith, not only proclaiming the gospel, but the historical Christian faith that was passed down to us from the early church. How that we as Christians who are now sadly falling away from the old time religion. And today we genuinely have sad hearts for a sister we believe was saved. She was born again herself. But many believe that the devil used her to turn many from the faith. And she was appreciated and coddled by the world big time. Because it seemed at some points that she mocked the old time religion. She mocked the faith, made fun of the Bible, and things that Bible-believing evangelical conservative Christians had done for years. I heard her mock myself what used to be called the sword drills, where young people were encouraged to know the books of the Bible. The fastest one who would find the book in the Bible won. And she doubted whether or not God created the world, and that is only 6,000 years old, and that's always going to be debatable as far as the age of it, but God created the world. There's no room for a Christian to doubt God on that or to believe in Darwinism and evolution. And the world took it and ran with it. They loved her. The world did. CNN loved her. New York Times loved her. NPR loved her. Many Bible-believing Christians never paid any attention and referred to her or considered her to be a heretic. And at times it appears she wore that badge proudly. And it is sad. It is a very pitiful situation. And now she's gone. And really, by the accounts that we read in the paper, nothing but the flu or something connected to that took her out of here. At 37 years old, a young wife and a young mother. And likable? Yes, indeed. I liked her myself, but very dangerous. And the whole point I want to make to everybody, and especially millennials who have been influenced by this spirit of mocking God and making fun of the old time Christian faith, yet benefiting from it. See, here's what's sad, people. Rachel Hale Evans, I believe, truly got saved, born again at some point in her life. And she may very well be in heaven today. But so many others that she influenced who are lost and on their way to hell, they're probably are in hell today, some of them, are going to hell because this young lady expressed her doubts and her fears and her unbelief so eloquently, as the devil will do. No one is hating on her. We loved her, and we liked her. But truth is truth. And a lie is a lie all day long. And not only that, I want to say to everybody here and everybody out there, what God has made very clear, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth or a woman soweth, that shall she also reap. And you can look at this any kind of way you want to, people, but this has got to be a warning to some people. Don't question God. Don't question his word. Don't broadcast your foolishness. You got the comfort of salvation in your soul. You know the Bible. You used to do sword drills. Lost people don't know anything, and you're casting doubt upon the little they do believe. You're going to heaven, but you're blocking others from going into heaven as well. This is a very insidious, satanically driven situation. And I would venture to say that's worse than a Pharisee who was not going in himself and blocking others from going in. When you are born again, when you trust Christ as Savior, you've been saved, and then you say things and write things that mock God in front of the world, and the world loves you, and you love the world loving you, and they're going to hell wholesale. That's why we need to hear about the old time faith, the old time religion. We need to get back to the old landmark. Yes, God created the world. No, Jesus Christ did not have a racial bias. That's one of the things she said. That's blasphemy. She suggested that Jesus Christ had a racial bias against the Syrophoenician woman, and he did not. That is blasphemy. So some of you folk growing up in the church, you've grown too flippant, too foolish in your talking, because you know it, and you know it well. As Dr. Bill Riddick said a long time ago, some of you know too much. You're sitting in our Bible-believing churches, in our comfortable pews, in our evangelical churches. You know too much, to the point you don't even believe as you should anymore. You think you're smart. We used to call you smarty pants. Smarty dresses. You're too smart for your own good, and now you're hurting others. So don't allow yourself to be influenced by the falling away. You stand strong no matter how high the tide gets and how rough the river is running in the opposite direction. You stand firm. Hold on to a rock. Hold on to the rock, Jesus Christ, and don't you budge, and don't you move. If your wife turns against you, if your husband turns against you, if your children turn against you, if your parents turn against you, you hold on to the rock that is higher than everybody, Jesus Christ. And so, dear friends, with that, regarding the importance of creeds in the church, John Leith said, while creeds are an attempt to give articulate, intelligible expression to Christian faith, they at least, the great ones, the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, the first creed found in 1 Corinthians 15:1, which we read earlier, are not intellectualistic, please understand, he said. They are fashioned in history, not in the relative isolation of a scholar's study. Christianity is, first of all, a historical religion. For those of you who have doubts, and those who are saved have faith. Those who are born again have faith, and they have no doubts about their Savior, Jesus Christ, and their God, and God's Word. Not simply in the sense that it has a history, but in its conviction that God has decisively acted and made himself known in history. The great creedal affirmations of the Old and New Testaments are recitals, if you will, of and reflections upon the historic events in which God is believed to have disclosed himself. Not only believed, he did disclose himself. And so, ladies and gentlemen, in this series, we have looked at the following factual statements from the Nicene Creed, based upon the Word of God, the Holy Bible, which obviously this generation and all generations need to be reminded of. And it is incumbent upon pastors to teach these truths. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, begotten from the Father, before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of the same essence as the Father. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven. He became incarnate by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary and was made human. He was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered, died, and was buried. The third day he rose again according to the Scriptures. He was seen alive by Mary Magdalene and the other women, the disciples, and over 500 other brethren. And by the grace of God, we were given liberty to go ahead and add that ourselves. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again with glory to judge the living and the dead. His kingdom will never end. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life. He proceeds from the Father and the Son, and with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified. Somebody ought to say amen. He spoke through the prophets. And today, ladies and gentlemen, As we approach a close, we will look at the next section of the new Nicene Creed, which reads as follows. We believe in one holy, universal, and apostolic church. We affirm one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look forward to the resurrection of the dead and to life in the world to come. Amen and amen. Ladies and gentlemen, in these words we see the nature of Christ's body, the church, closely tied to the influence of the Holy Spirit, which we talked about in our last message. Is the work of the church in the world. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 28 says, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus." The church is universal in that all are welcome in it. Barriers, all people who are born again and saved are welcome into the church through the blood of Christ. Barriers that once divided men and nations melt away in the universal church. There are all kinds of folks in the universal church. Black folk and white folk. Red folk and yellow folk. Not only is the church universal, but the church is holy. The church is set apart for the purposes of God. The Greek word used in the New Testament for church is ecclesia, which means called out ones, those who are truly born again, believers in Christ. The church is made up of those who have been called out of the world and into the family of God. In his letter to the Galatians, Paul explains the means by which believers become members of the body of Christ, or the church universal. Under the Jewish system, the only way to be considered a child of God was to be extremely observant of the law and the laws. Of course, no one succeeded at doing this perfectly. However, because of the cross, we become children of God by putting our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. As children of God and members of the body of Christ, we have a special relationship with God as a loving, caring Father. Have you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you been born again? Do you have peace in your heart that you are part of the universal church? You may not have found a good Bible-believing church where you are, or your church has been blown to pieces by ISIS. But you are a part of the universal church because you have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. You have trusted Christ as Savior. Have you done that? If you have not done that, allow me to share with you today how to do that. How to be saved. How to become a part of the Lord's church. The universal church of the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, except the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We die physically because of our sins. Our bodies go to an awful place. Our souls go to an awful place called hell. Our bodies go to the grave. Death is a terrible thing. The wages of sin is death. You say, preacher, I don't believe that there's a hell. Well, Jesus Christ did. So accept the fact that you're on the road to hell right now if you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. There is a real, literal, burning hell where there will be gnashing of teeth, Jesus said. A place of darkness, a place of constant torment, constantly falling, can't see before you, yet burning at the same time. That's where every soul that does not trust Christ must go. Contrary to the naysayers, contrary to the doubters, contrary to the liberal crowd or the progressive crowd, as they call them and call themselves. There is a literal burning hell somewhere, and you need to get your soul saved from that place. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shalt be saved. Now, hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, that is, in hell, but have everlasting life. And just believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. That he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will save you. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Dear friend of mine, if you are ready to trust Christ as your Savior, if you understand the gospel and you're ready to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and pray and ask him to save you, let's do just that. Based upon the promises of God. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Pray and ask him to save your soul today. Believing in your heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled and died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again. Follow me in prayer. Mean it from your heart. And follow me in prayer, phrase by phrase. Repeat after me. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon me. And forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. that he died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past. And help me to turn from my evil ways and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, allow me to say congratulations to you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you free of charge to help you grow in the faith. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again for you. By his grace, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is our prayer. I don't know why Jesus loved me.